because, and my wife got one too. Yeah, she did that. I said, bring your phone. I want a picture with Brother Perry. And I love that wonderful, wonderful song. If you're saved, you have victory in Jesus. Amen. The best is yet to come. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you need a handout, if you'd like a handout, you don't have one, just slip your hand up. My wife has some more. I do want to encourage everybody tonight to have a handout. And Brother Sound, I'll turn my sound down here. There we go. I'd encourage everybody to have a handout because this is one of those lessons, one of those messages that you will probably reference possibly daily, certainly weekly, as a believer for the rest of your life. It really has met a need, not only in my life, but many, many others in the short time I've begun to preach this series the Lord has given me. 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12 says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Tonight I want to consider this topic an unavoidable consequence. And this unavoidable consequence is a consequence not just because we're saved, but it's an unavoidable consequence of life. And what that consequence is suffering. I want to look biblically at the reasons for suffering. Second of all, our responses to suffering. And then thirdly, the rewards that come from suffering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. The great, great privilege to be gathered in your Son's name. That name that is above every name, that name which every knee one day shall bow and confess he's Lord to your glory, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in his name your blessing on our time as we consider this topic of suffering. Lord, I pray tonight you would open our understanding. Help us, Lord, as your people to understand not only where it comes from, but how you want us to respond to it, but most of all, the rewards and benefits and blessings that come from it. And help us not so quickly dismiss the value of suffering. Bless tonight the needs that are here. I don't know them all. I know there are many, but I pray that you would meet them tonight through the preaching and the teaching of your word. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An unavoidable consequence of life is suffering. What does it mean to suffer? I wrote the definition down. Suffering defined is this: to undergo pain, inconvenience, or loss. To suffer means this: to bear what is disagreeable or distressing. And I think you and I would probably agree with this. Most people, Americans in particular, spend a lifetime avoiding suffering. And yet in this life, suffering is unavoidable and, for the most part, unenjoyable. So I want to look, first of all, at the four reasons Scripture gives us for trials and suffering. You know, suffering, pain, inconvenience, and loss, disagreeable and distressing circumstances come
for various reasons, and the Bible shares with us the four reasons that suffering comes in every one of our lives. Number one, write this down. There is a suffering, Scripture records this clearly, there is a suffering associated with living in sin. Write that down. There is a suffering associated with living in sin. We're not looking the verses up, they're there for reference, but in the book of Joshua, Achan suffered a premature death because he had sinned against God. You see in the New Testament, at Calvary itself, the thief on the cross said this, and he suffered a premature death and a very painful death by crucifixion. And he said, why? He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. You and I need to recognize that there is in each of our lives oftentimes a suffering that's associated with living in sin. In other words, making poor choices. And never forget this, choices have consequences. And poor choices have poor consequences as well. There is a suffering associated with living in sin. Number two, there is a suffering, the Bible shows us, associated with simply the circumstances of life. Write that down. There is a suffering, there is pain, inconvenience, and loss simply associated with the circumstances of life. We would call this the sin curse. The sin curse upon this entire planet. Childbearing. There's suffering in childbearing because of the sin curse. The thistles and thorns grow and we work in the sweat of our brow because of the sin curse. Amen? There is a suffering associated simply with the circumstances of life. Number three, the Bible records a third avenue of suffering. There is a suffering associated with Satan. Write that down. Scripture records this very clearly. There is pain, inconvenience, and loss associated with Satan and spiritual darkness. Job tells us that in Job chapter 2. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. You talk about suffering. There is a suffering associated with Satan and the powers of darkness. And then number four, note this one. The Bible records the fourth area of suffering or avenue of suffering. It says there's a suffering associated with living for the Savior. Write that down. There is a suffering, Scripture records and tells us, that's associated with living for the Savior. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, what's the word? Suffer persecution, all right? So there is a suffering that's associated with living for the Savior. But second of all, I want to consider our responses to suffering. Our responses to suffering when it comes. Listen to this. So prep this. Do you know Jonah had a trial and experienced suffering? You remember Jonah? Whale Seminary? Okay. Jonah had a trial and experienced suffering because he had disobeyed God. Amen? A very circuitous route to finally get back where God wanted him. A lot of suffering involved there because he had disobeyed God. But note this. Paul had trials and experienced suffering. You remember the shipwreck? And Euroclydon, why? Because others disobeyed God. Others disobeyed. You can hear Paul. He told them, don't go. They went. And then in the middle of the storm, he said, you know, you should have listened to me. We wouldn't be going through all this if you had just listened to me. Amen? Paul experienced suffering because others disobeyed God. But here's this one. The disciples had trials and experienced suffering because they obeyed God. Now, why am I saying this? When suffering comes, because there's four reasons it's going to show up in your life, you have to pause first and identify the source of your suffering. You have to pause and identify why you're going through the suffering. Here's why. Because every source has and requires a different response. And if you don't identify the reason for your suffering that occurs, you will not respond properly. So you have to pause and figure out why you're experiencing the pain the inconvenience and the loss, then you can respond properly. So, every one of these will start with an R. And here's the first one. If your suffering is due to sin, poor choices, sinfulness, disobedience to God, what do you think the word is? Repent. Write that down. If your suffering is due to sin, then repent. Amen? Go with me to James 5, just a few pages earlier than where we opened our service tonight. In James chapter 5, you know, if your suffering tonight is due to sin, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin. Quit continuing in it. And notice here in James chapter 5 and verse 14, listen to what's said, James 5, 14. It says this, is any sick among you? All right? Here's somebody in the church was sick, and this is the call. Let him call for the elders, James 5, 14, of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And notice in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Notice there's a sickness here apparently due to sin. And then he just expands it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right, here we see somebody is sick. It seems to be due to sin. And so the elders are called in. And he says, if you have this situation, let him anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let me say this. I believe in faith healing. I don't believe in faith healers. All right? And by the way, I've actually done this as a pastor. I've anointed someone with oil. We've called the elders, the deacons. We got together. We had somebody that was just dealing with sickness. We didn't know why. And we just anointed them with oil. It's there. You can't cut that out of your scripture. Amen? It's there. It's not funky and weird. God gives a command. But here's what's interesting. In this case, there's a note that it could be because of sin. We don't know why. That doesn't mean if you're sick, it's because of sin. All right? But I will say it's certainly because of the sin curse. There's no sickness in heaven. Amen. We sing it. There's coming a day where no heartaches, so you know what will come. But there's times when I come into a church as an evangelist, and there's the pastor says, "Need would you like to make a visit with me?" I said, "Sure." And I said, "Who are we visiting?" "Well, I've got brother so-and-so in the hospital, you know." And this was very common. It was very common that I would go, and the pastor and I would go, and when we get there, I would read scripture, we'd sing a song. And because I'm the visiting preacher, almost always I got asked to pray. You know, "Brother Dave, would you go ahead, Brother Summerdorf, would you pray over this person?" "Sure, okay, let's pray," you know. And it was always a standard prayer. "Lord, bless them. Lord, give them peace. Give the doctors wisdom. Lord, please heal them." You know, it was a standard prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But now I pray differently because I don't know why they're there. Amen? I'm visiting. So, Lord, if they're living in sin right now and you're trying to get their attention, Lord, go ahead and get their attention to the point they finally get sick of their sin and let go of it. Amen? And I just run through all the reasons. See, now at least having said that here, next time I come and you're in the hospital, I'll be the last one you want to visit you in the hospital. Oh, great comforter that I am. But it's wise. Pray wisely. Don't just throw up a prayer, amen? And so here, if your suffering is due to sin, and you will know, by the way, the devil... And I've had people say, "How can you tell the difference between the devil accusing you or the Holy Spirit accusing you?" Because both will point out and make you feel, you with me? The devil will always just convict you of general things. You're bad. You're a sinner. Oh, like that's a news break, you know, right? That's nothing. I knew that one. You're just not worthy. You're not worthy. That's how the devil operates. He accuses the brethren. You know how the Holy Spirit operates? He points out specific sin every time. Every time. And when you and I come into sickness, I guarantee you, one of the things that I always do is I check up where I am and how I'm living for the Lord. Amen? So if it's due to sin, repent. Number two, write this one in. If the suffering is due to the circumstances of life, resolve. Resolve to stay faithful. Resolve to stay faithful. Don't get weary in well-doing. Amen? Look to the Lord and ask Him for strength and grace, Hebrews 4. If your suffering is due to Satan, what do you think the word is there? Well, that's close. Resist is what I chose, for two scriptures record that, but rebuke. Resist. Write that down. Resist. But notice there's an order here. Go to James and look with me how James describes this in James chapter 5 and verse number 6. You know, if your suffering is due to Satan, and by the way, the powers of darkness do create suffering. Amen? You need to recognize that. When I was newly saved, twice I ran into demonic possession on base at Whidbey Island. Satan is real. The powers of darkness are real. You need to recognize that. And notice here in 1 Peter chapter 5, when we put that word resist down, notice the order, though. This is important, 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Notice the word humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Go to James 4, three pages earlier. Look with me in James. We see the same pattern in chapter 4, verse 6. He says this in James 4, 6, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Notice verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? Could I just remind you tonight? Satan isn't that scared of you. He's not that afraid of me. You know, I've had people say this, well, pray for me, Brother Dave. The devil's on my case. And I say, are you serious? Yeah. I said, you know, we're not that spiritual, okay, that we get number one on our case, all right? You with me? I probably got demon 492 down the line assigned to me. Does that make sense? We sometimes think we're more than we are. However, the powers of darkness are still the powers of darkness. It's not you that Satan fears. It's who you belong to. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Like the little girl, she said it this way. When the devil knocks on my door, I send Jesus to answer it. That's good advice. Amen? It's not you. It's Jesus Christ in you that makes it. So submit to God, then resist the devil in his strength. Amen? And then number four, write this one in. If your suffering is due to your stand for the Savior, what do you think you ought to do? Rejoice. You nailed it. Rejoice. Look at this one section in Acts chapter 4. We'll just go there very quickly. In Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 5, I'm sorry, couldn't read my wife's notes there. Acts chapter 5, some of you didn't get it. You got to understand here, the disciples have been dragged before the high priest, the captain of the temple, the chief priests, and the guards and magistrates, and they're going to kill them. And Gamaliel comes along and talks them out of it. He says, don't kill them. I mean, if this is of God, you can't stop it. And if it's not of God, it'll fizzle out on its own. So notice we pick the narrative up in Acts 5 in verse 40, and to him they agreed. They agreed to the counsel of Gamaliel. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Notice, and they departed from the presence of the council. Look at that word, rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And notice their response, and daily in the temple, every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if your pain, your inconvenience, your loss, some of you tonight are going through pain. I know some of your maladies. I know some of your problems, but you came here in pain because you wanted to be here with God's people in God's house. You know, if your suffering is due to your serving the Lord, desiring to serve Him and stand for Him, you ought to rejoice for the privilege. Amen? Everybody suffers. What an honor to suffer for the King. Amen? What an honor to suffer for the King. So if your suffering is due to your stand for the Savior, rejoice. Go to Philippians 1. I want you to notice something before we go to the third point. In Philippians chapter 1, I think oftentimes there's very little suffering for our Savior. Most of our suffering is not for Jesus Christ. All right? You understand what I'm saying? Most of our suffering is the sin curse. Most of the pain, inconvenience, and losses that we go through are poor choices that we made when we were lost. You understand the drunk doesn't get his mind back oftentimes after he gets saved. You know what I mean? So there's suffering there. Powers of darkness, maybe, simply by Christ in me, I draw the ire of Satan. But most of my inconvenience, pain, and loss, and distressing situations generally is not because of my stand for Jesus Christ. Recognize that. And yet you and I are called to suffer for Him. Look at what's said in Philippians 1, verse 27. He says this, Philippians 1, 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit," this is good, "with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, one gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries." Notice, which is to them an evident token of your perdition. You're messed up because you ought to be afraid. You ought to be affrighted. You ought to be, you know, just terrified, and you're not. The peace of God is ruling in your heart. And to them, they don't understand that. But to you, it's an evidence of salvation and that of God. Amen? Now watch in verse 29. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him." Praise the Lord. Look up for just a moment. Aren't you glad you believed on Him? Amen? That side of the coin I absolutely love. I had the privilege to believe on Jesus Christ. I received eternal life. But look at the other side. "For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." This believing on Jesus and suffering for Jesus is a package deal. If you believed on Him, you're called to suffer for Him. You're called to be inconvenienced for Him. You're called to bear things that are disagreeable for Him. Amen? You are called to even lose things for Him. It's the very essence of Christianity. If any man will follow me, what? Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. That's an instrument of torture and pain. And let him then follow me. What happened to American Christianity? What's going on today? Go to 2 Samuel. I want to just give you a little glimpse, and then I'm going to pull it up and bring us to. But I want you to see something, because you and I today need to recognize when you believed on Him, you were called to suffer for Him. It's a package deal. And notice in 2 Samuel, this is a fascinating little moment in David's life. David has numbered the people in 2 Samuel 24. You remember that moment? David numbered the people. But you got to realize, who was it that David numbered? He numbered his soldiers. That's who he numbered in 2 Samuel 24. And God cursed him for doing that. God gave him three penalty choices, A, B, or C, and David picked C, 3 days pestilence. You know what I'm saying? Where God just destroyed the cream of his crop, his men. Now you say, well, why would God be so upset that David numbered his soldiers? Here's why. Because soldiers, armies, are a king's 401k. Y'all with me? Armies are the king's security. The bigger the army, the more secure the king would feel. Y'all with me? Yeah, and you say, well, what's the matter with that? This is David. This David had no army when he took down Goliath. All he had was the Lord, and that was good for David. David said, he's enough. I come to him in the name of the Lord. And that was enough, amen? And when he took out the lion and he took out the bear, but as he got older, he shifted his security and the weight of what he trusted in from God to man. And if you and I aren't careful, we'll do the same thing. Y'all with me? We can start so well, and then we can get later in life, and all of a sudden, we instead of helping, we become hoarders. We can do it. Don't look at me weird. I know. As I get older, I'm always going, okay, you know, how am I going to go secure this? And if I'm not careful, all of a sudden, I put all my weight on man when I begin with God. And I should end the same way. Amen? Now, I'm not saying don't make plans. Y'all with me? I'm not saying that. Because the last thing Deb and I want to be is a burden to our kids. Somebody's got to pick up the slack if we're a burden. Y'all with me? But I'm going to tell you, if all you do is just trust your riches, that's a pretty shaky foundation because you're only as secure as your health. Amen? And boom, it can all be gone tomorrow, just like that. So God must always be our ultimate security. He's got to be our focus. He's got to be the one we're constantly looking to as our security. So David numbers the people, and God curses him for shifting his security from God to man. He gives the penalty, 3 days pestilence, and then David is told God has paused in the destruction. David loses 70,000 men. In 3 days, 70,000 of his best soldiers in 3 days. And David's told, go up to the threshing floor of Arauna. God's paused there. And if you'll give an offering, you'll stop it. This plague will cease. So look at what happens in verse number 18. Verse 17 of 2 Samuel 24. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Notice in verse 21, Arauna greets him. And look at what he says. And Arauna said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And look at what Arauna does. This is a class act guy. And Arauna said unto David, let my lord the king take up and offer what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, the threshing instruments, other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arauna, as a king, give unto the king. Pause. We got to look at this. David's just lost 70,000 men. He goes to make the offering up at the threshing floor of Arauna, and you know what? Arauna greets him and said, what are you here for? He tells him, and he said, David, this one is on the house. David, here's the oxen, no charge. David, here's the threshing floor. I'm giving it. You don't have to buy it from me. I'm going to give you this land. David, here's all the instruments. It's free, David. As a king, he gave it to the king for free. He offered it. Now stop and think about it. If there was a moment David would be tempted to take a freebie, this was that moment. He just lost 70,000 men. I'm sure if he was like a lot of us, he would have said, well, praise the Lord. Isn't God good? In the midst of his wrath, he remembers mercy, and he's given me a freebie to make up for the loss that I have suffered. But David didn't say that. Look at what he said. David responded this way, verse 24, the king said unto Arauna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Wow. You know what I see there? David did not want to worship his God conveniently. He wanted to worship his God sacrificially. He wanted his service to God to cost him something. Amen? You look at where we are tonight as American believers. And American believers, so often, we simply want a God who he sacrificed for us. But how dare that God dare ask us to be inconvenienced and sacrificed for him? We worship as American believers at the altar of self-preservation and convenience, not sacrifice. We just want a Christ who suffers for us. We don't want a Christ who calls us to suffer for him. And in that process, just pause, we never enter into close fellowship with our Savior when we have that spirit of self-preservation, where it costs us nothing to serve. We never get to taste what he went through. We never get to taste the fellowship of sacrifice, for that's the very essence of who our Savior is. And we miss the crucible of character and the crucible of Christ-likeness. I think sometimes all of us would do good to just go to a persecuted third world country and just see what believers are paying for their stand for Jesus Christ. And I think we would hang our head in shame, for we complain if the drive's a little too long. We complain if the preacher went 10 minutes over. You know what I'm saying? We're so quick to complain, and yet we've been called to suffer. Obey the call. Amen? And here's what I want to add. Flip the page. Because he knows the benefits that come with suffering, he calls us to suffer. Because suffering is a blessing. It brings incredible blessings. Look with me at the four rewards of suffering. Great benefits that only suffering brings, and nothing else will do this. And oftentimes we view suffering as negative, but really suffering is positive if we respond properly. Amen? If we respond properly. And oftentimes we don't respond, we react. Right? Did I explain that? Difference between reaction and response? A reaction is negative. A response is positive. And so when you and I respond properly, then there's great benefits and blessings that come from the suffering. Number one, write this in. What's the first benefit? The silver lining, if you will, the reward of suffering if we respond properly. Number one, it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. Look what he says. He says it right here in 1 Peter Chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 7. In a single verse, these people are going through incredible persecution. And look at how that trial is noted here. 1 Peter 1, 7. That the trial of your faith, he says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, when you and I respond properly to trials and suffering, it brings glory to God. Amen. People notice that, and it lifts up God. Number two, write this one in. The second benefit of responding properly to trials and suffering is it draws us closer to God. Write that down. It'll draw you closer to God. I love how the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 67, he says this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And then an interesting little verse, the psalmist said, "Before I was afflicted, before I went through this incredible trial, I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I went astray, and the affliction brought him back." I don't know who you are, but some interesting thing happened to me whenever I go through suffering. Let me tell you, one of the worst suffering, I hate motion sickness. I hate it. Anybody here say, "I can't stand it, nausea, motion sickness"? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to see who's on my side here, okay? I hate it. I absolutely hate it. You know, you say, how would you describe that? I have a friend, a commercial fisherman. He says it this way. He says, when you're out there on the high seas and you jump to another boat, they all have a different role. He said, you can be working for a week out there, jump to another one, and all of a sudden, wow, you are sicker than a dog. He said, the first day or two, you're afraid you're going to die. He said, then it's so bad, the next day or two, you're afraid you're not. You know? I said, that's sick. You know, Let me just tell you, when I get the stomach flu, when I'm not feeling well like that, you know the first thing I do, I start praying a lot more. Amen? I go ahead and I begin getting my eyes on God. I start getting weary of the world. You know, Lord, why? Blah, why do I want to stay? Blah, oh, Lord, get me out of here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all with me? I mean, this world doesn't look so sweet. You know, it's not another day in Disney. It's hugging the bowl. You know, oh, Lord, I'm miserable. Oh, why do I want to hang around this place? Lord, please take me home. Heaven's looking good. Y'all with me? I start confessing sins I've never committed. I'm just like, Lord, if this is due to my sin, Lord, I'll just confess everything. And everything that everybody else has ever done. Lord, until I was afflicted, I went astray. The psalmist recognizes one of the values and benefits of suffering is it'll draw you closer to God and further from the world. Amen? Number three, here's another benefit. It will go ahead and build your character. When you and I suffer and respond properly when the trials come, the suffering comes, the pain, inconvenience, and loss, it'll build our character, and I added to that little place, and reliance on Jesus Christ. Look in 2 Corinthians 12. Look with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We see Paul note this. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul is being afflicted. He's going through incredible trials here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And look at what he says here, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Because the third benefit is it'll build your character and your dependence on Jesus Christ. Point C on the third point. Look at what it says, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Notice the powers of darkness are being allowed to be brought to bear. Lest I should be exalted above measure, he cries out to God, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And look at how the Lord responds to all of this request that Paul has to have this suffering out of his life. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what the Lord said to Paul? Nope, not taking it. This is yours. I'm allowing this to stay in your life. For his grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Look at the takeaway now that Paul has. Well then, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at what he says. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak physically, weak emotionally, then am I strong spiritually. That's what he's saying. You know that third great benefit and blessing and reward of suffering, if you'll respond properly, is it'll build your character as well as your reliance on Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, don't miss this. When you and I respond properly to suffering, it allows us to be a blessing to others. It allows us to be a blessing to others. Not self, to be a blessing to others. First of all, by way of example. Amen? By way of example. And we need godly examples. Brother Andrew, did you come into the MRI this last time we had it a year ago? So you met a man named Stephen Hutto. Stephen was there. His wife, Sarah, did a forward in Deb's, your most recent book that's out, second book that's out. Stephen Hutto and his wife, Sarah, live in the plains of Colorado to the east of Pueblo. He's one of a number of boys. They're ranchers. And their dad, Pastor Waylon Hutto, pastors Fountain Independent Baptist Church. And Stephen has taken a little church in Boone, Colorado. Flatter than a pancake, 24 acres for one head of cattle. That's what it feed them. It is just ugly. And these boys, they're concrete poor. They build houses. They tear things down. And Stephen's about 45 years old. And about 6 years ago, they were tearing down an old house. And he inhaled something. And it literally aged him by 30 years. When you meet Stephen Hutto, he cannot walk without a cane. He's struggling to just even stand sometimes. He speaks, it's a struggle for him to speak. And I remember when I saw Stephen the first time, I said, "What happened?" And he began to tell me. I said, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me." We begin to pray. He has tried everything, nothing's changed in 6 years. He is just an old man in his mid-40s. But you would never know it by his attitude and his spirit. Every time I see him, "How you doing, Brother Steve?" "Good, Brother Dave. How are you doing?" And he's not a Pollyanna. He is genuine. He's that privately. He's that publicly. He's taken that little church in Boone. He's seeing people saved and baptized. And then he comes to his dad's church and helps out a 45-minute drive one way, tottering. And I can always tell when it's near the end of the day because he can barely stand. He is so weak. But he's a constant smile. He's a constant encouragement. And I'm standing there with his dad 2 years ago, and I'm watching Stephen just totter along with his big smile, greeting the visitors, and going ahead and seeing what he can do to help. And I said, "Brother Steve is an amazing guy." And you know what Dad said? He said, "Brother Dave, my son Stephen has suffered well. He has suffered. I don't know about you, but I need to see that. I need to know when the trials come that I don't have to, as a default setting, pitch a fit. Because the same spirit in Stephen is in me. I don't have to pitch a fit. I don't have to charge God foolishly. I can yield to the hand of my God, who will allow things in my life that He chooses. For whatever purpose, it's all good. And I can yield to that. And in the midst of all the suffering, say, my God's good." Amen? Do you suffer well? We need to see that. We need those examples, don't we? Amen? We need the examples, and then when suffering comes like that, it allows us to be a blessing, not just by way of example, but second of all, by way of empathy. When we suffer, we identify with those who suffer. Amen? I don't know who you are, but this was me for many, many years. I would meet guys as I would travel, and they'd say, "Pray for me. My lower back is absolutely killing me." And you got to understand, I never said it, but this is what I thought. "Oh, you must be an army boy, you know. Why don't you just suck it up, buttercup? You know, Marines don't, you know, back problem. Are you kidding me? I'm not as spiritual as you think I am, okay? I would think that thought like, yeah, right." And a few years ago, I get out of the shower and I'm shaving and I sneeze. I sneeze and tweak something, and it's all of a sudden, it's like somebody's sticking a knife. I said, "Hon." She says, "What?" "I need your help." "What's the matter?" "My lower back." I'm so glad she didn't come over and say, "Well, why don't you just suck it up, buttercup?" She didn't do that, you know. It's like, You know, I'll tell you, one of you says to me, "Now pray for me. My lower back is bothering me." "Son, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Y'all with me?" Why? Because I'm there. I've gone through it. Amen? My daughter's pastor up in New Hampshire, we were there a couple of years ago, something so humorous. A church of every age group represented. young, middle, old. And he said, I need to make this announcement before we start the service this morning. I need to just make this announcement for the church. Number one, he said, if you're an older saint, you're up in years, I need you to understand something. That every time you come to church, the young people don't always want to know what body part is failing on you. They're not interested in hearing. So don't always feel they got to get the news report. And then he added, and young people, when the older generation tells you how poorly they're doing health-wise, don't dismiss it so quickly. Because one day, you're going to be there. Show a little empathy. Amen? I thought he did such a good job at that moment. One of the great rewards silver lining suffering brings, it allows us to be a blessing to others by way of example, by way of empathy, and by way of encouragement. What is suffering's greatest benefit? Look with me. 1 Peter 3. We'll close, pretty much closing with this tonight. As we look at this common human experience called suffering, look at what's said in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice he makes the distinction in verse 17 of the different kinds of suffering. 1 Peter 3:17, he says this, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Notice in verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why did Jesus suffer such a death? Why did he have to suffer crucifixion? Why did he have to suffer the abuse, the shame? Why did he have to suffer the cat of nine tails? Why did he have to suffer all that? That he might bring us to God. What is the greatest benefit of suffering, the greatest reward? Fill in the notes. A perfect salvation through a suffering Savior. Don't be so quick to say there's no value in suffering. Don't be so quick to try to avoid all suffering at all costs. There's great value in suffering. Your and my salvation hinges on a Savior who suffered horribly and bled and died for your and my sin. Amen? So as we close tonight, go to Romans 8:28, because I want to just close with this. I tapped it, but we need to close here because this is important. We've looked tonight at the reasons for suffering. We've looked at our responses to suffering, but finally, the rewards and benefits that come with suffering. And notice, how should our attitude, what should our attitude be? Romans 8, verse 28 says this. Romans 8:28. Says, and we know that how many things? What's the word there? All. Okay, now that would be bad things. Amen? That would be painful things. That would be losses, not just gains. That would be trials, not just blessings. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There's the secret. To them who are the called according to his purpose. When bad things happen to lost people, they charge God foolishly. When bad things happen to unspiritual people, they shake their fist at God and say, why me? When bad things happen to God's people and we're walking as we should, we know all of it is meant for good, not bad, because we are the called according to his purpose. And notice the ultimate good is in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. So many illustrations as I close I could choose to use. I could choose to use Ron Hamilton. Went through great trials and suffering. Lost an eye. But out of that tragedy was the triumphant ministry of Patch the Pirate. I could reach for men I know from Shane Lewis in Somerville, Alabama, who died at 49, said to his family as they gathered around, "We will not get angry with God." And they're all serving the Lord to this day. I could reach for Billy Cunning, whose husband and her, I pastored as a new pastor in Alaska, and she got MS and died at a very young age. I think Billy was in her 40s. Four children. She got sweeter as her life ebbed away. She was the one that encouraged Deb to write books. One of her last conversations. I still have on my phone the picture. So emaciated, it would take 45 minutes to roll her slowly from one side to the other. She was so in so much pain, but a continual smile. If you could see that picture of us in her little emaciated form. And her children said this, "If Mom had gotten bitter with God, I doubt any of us would be serving Him today." Well, I could just reach for Him over and over. But let me close with this one. Her name was Elizabeth Prentice. Born in 1818 in Portland, Maine, she was the daughter of a pastor, and she was saved at the age of 13 and became a prolific writer. Her most famous book, Stepping Heavenward, a book for women. If you've never gotten it, you should read it. It's an amazing read. She married at the age of 27 to a pastor. 7 years later, lost her second and third child in the same year. She struggled with chronic health problems almost her entire life. And then died at the age of 59. She noted in her journal, quote, "Much of my experience of life has cost me a great price, and I wish to use it for strengthening and comforting other souls." Her most well-known hymn that she wrote was sung at her funeral. The third verse said it all. "Let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. Sweet are the messengers, sweet their refrain, when they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And my prayer for you, and I want your prayer to be this for me, that as we go on through life, we would suffer well. To bring God glory, to build our character, to draw us closer to Jesus Christ and allow us to be a blessing to others by way of example. Our Savior suffered well. Amen? May we suffer well also. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Before I pray, I want to ask you, you're going through a trial? You're going through suffering right now? Has there been some pains, disappointment, and loss? Have you paused to identify the source? What's the source of your suffering tonight? Why are you going through this? Don't be so quick to assign it to the devil. Has it been a poor choice that's finally caught up with you? Maybe it is the power of darkness. Maybe it's just the circumstances of life. You're just going through the sin curse like everybody else does. Maybe it is for the Savior. But once you've identified the source, are you responding properly? You know, all trials should do is make you better, not bitter. They should draw you closer to God. Because until you were afflicted, you did go astray. And realize tonight, Christian, in a day of self-preservation, the spirit of Christianity is a call to suffer, to deny yourself and pick up a cross, an instrument of suffering, and then follow Jesus Christ. Don't be content as a believer in America to just have a Savior that suffered for you. Rise to the calling to suffer for Him. And count that an honor. For all men will suffer. All women will suffer. But what a privilege to suffer for the kingdom's cause. And when it hurts to serve the Lord, that price says something. Don't offer things that cost you nothing. Ask Him for grace to worship and serve Him sacrificially. And remember, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. Father, we want to pause tonight and thank You for suffering. Lord, we see the values and the benefits. The biggest one and the greatest is Your Son suffering for us. Thank You for a suffering Savior that purchased our pardon, brought our redemption. Lord, thank You for Your Son. And Lord, we realize tonight as Your people, even in America, we're called to suffer and sacrifice for Your Son. Help us to willingly take that mantle. Help us, Lord, to recognize that the highest reason for suffering is not for our sin and not for the circumstances of life, but for the Savior. Help us to count it a privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ, to be inconvenienced, to experience loss. Could be friendships, could be family. Lord, thank You for the honor to suffer for one who suffered for us, Your Son. I pray, Father, we'd recognize that You will never allow something in our life. Nothing comes in our life without Your permission. And so for every one of us tonight, some of us going through some real trials, help us to thank You for them, recognizing that all of these things work together for good to each of us who are saved and called according to Your purpose. Lord, help us to suffer well, to be a blessing to others, and bring glory to Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for just a moment. Music's playing softly. You want to just slip out and pray? You can. Kneel down where you are just for a moment. Give you an opportunity to respond.